أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. آية نمبر 75. ومنهم من عاهد الله. And among them are those who made a covenant with Allah. What covenant? لَئِنْ آتَانَا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. That if Allah should give us from His favor, from His bounty, then لَنَصَدَّقَنَّ وَلَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. We will surely spend in charity, and we will surely be among the righteous. This ayah continues to expose the hypocrisy of the hypocrites. And here we learn the reason why hypocrisy settles into the heart. How hypocrisy becomes a part of one's heart, and it goes from one's actions into their heart. And that is lying to Allah, making promises, and then breaking those promises. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنْهُمْ, meaning among the hypocrites, is مَنْ عَاهَدَ اللَّهِ, the one who عَاهَدَ. عَاهَدَ meaning made an عَهْد, made a covenant, a promise with Allah. How? What promise? That لَئِنْ آتَانَا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ, that surely if He gives us, who gives us? If Allah gives us, مِنْ فَضْلِهِ, of His favor. Meaning if Allah gives us from His special favor, meaning wealth or worldly blessings, then لَنَصَدَّقَنَّ. Surely we are definitely going to give sadaqah. And here lam is of qasam, meaning they're making an oath. They're making a pledge, a vow, that we will definitely give charity. And charity over here, sadaqah over here, can include both zakat and also voluntary charity, which can come in the form of spending in the cause of Allah, supporting jihad fi sabilillah, or any righteous cause like building a hospital, digging a well, providing water, clean water for people, providing free health care, education, etc. for those in need. These are all different forms of charity. So they say that we will certainly give charity, zakat, and also voluntary charity. And not just that, وَلَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ, and surely we will be of those who are righteous. Meaning, we will do a lot of righteous things throughout our lives. We will do lots of good things. And الصَّالِحِينَ are those who do deeds that are righteous. Righteous deeds includes, for example, maintaining ties with relatives, honoring one's guests, also voluntary salah, umrah, any, all good deeds are included in righteousness. So they say that we will do lots of good things, meaning throughout our lives, if Allah gives us of His favor. If Allah bestows such and such wealth on us or grants us this worldly blessing, then we will do such and such good thing. Like for example, a person says that if Allah gives me a child, I will make that child a hafiz. This is a righteous action. Or a person says, if Allah gives me success in my exam, I will pray this much voluntary salah out of gratitude, or I will keep these many fasts, or I will go for umrah. So they make this promise to Allah, and it's not just a thought or a whim. No, it's a promise, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions لَنَصَدَّقَنَّ. Lam is of qasam. So this is a pledge. And وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ عَاهَدَ اللَّهِ, he made a pledge to Allah. So, do they fulfill their pledge then? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا آتَاهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ, but when He gives them of His favor. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them something of His favor. Like for example, He gives them the wealth that they prayed for, the children that they prayed for, the success in their careers that they prayed for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them, but then what do? They do not fulfill what they had promised Allah. Instead, بَخِلُوا بِهِ, they became stingy with it. They do بُخْل. بُخْل is stinginess, meaning they withhold what Allah has given to themselves, and they do not spend it in the way of Allah. And they make excuses that, oh, I don't have enough, I need this right now, I can't do this now, I'm busy, I have this financial obligation and that responsibility, this expense and that expense. بَخِلُوا بِهِ, they became stingy with it. And this happens with a lot of people, that they pray for a certain amount of wealth. They pray for success in their careers. And they make big promises that I will give this much charity, I will do such and such charitable work. But then when dunya comes in their hands, they become very stingy with it. They fall in love with it, they become greedy over it, and they do not want to spend it. And وَتَوَلَّوْا, they turned away, meaning from fulfilling their promise, from obedience and submission. وَهُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ, and they are ones who turn away in aversion. يعني تَوَلَّوْا, they didn't just turn away from the promise that they made Allah, they also turned away from Allah, yani they drifted away from righteousness. Yani before, they used to pray a lot, that, oh Allah, grant me success, oh Allah, grant me wealth, oh Allah, grant me this child. They used to pray a lot, they used to cry a lot, they used to make a lot of dua. And now that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them what they prayed for, they turned away from Allah. They no longer pray, they no longer read Quran, they no longer make dua, they're just lost and busy with their dunya. وَهُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ, while they are ones who turn away in aversion, or while they refuse. مُعْرِضُونَ, plural of مُعْرِض, and إِعْرَاض, you know, is the aversion of the heart, that a person has no interest in something anymore. So they have no worry, no concern in their heart, no regret, nothing whatsoever. Meaning they have no intention of ever fulfilling the pledge that they made Allah. Now if you think about it, there are many people who make such promises, right? And such a promise is called a nadhr. Noon dhal ra. And a vow, making a pledge to Allah, and this pledge is basically that you promise to do something that is not obligatory on you. Like for example, it is not obligatory on you to pray 50 rak'at of voluntary salah. No. Similarly, it is not obligatory on you to spend a certain amount in charity. I'm not talking about zakat, but sadaqah. Right? This is not obligatory. It is not obligatory on you to build a hospital. It is not obligatory on you to provide clean water to people, right? But nadhr is that you make something that is not obligatory, obligatory on yourself. How? By making a pledge, by making a promise to Allah. Okay? Now, making a vow in and of itself is permissible. In fact, it is something good. Why? Because it's a way of compelling yourself to do certain good deeds. Because otherwise, you would just, you know, keep thinking that, yeah, sounds like a good idea to do this, I would love to do this, but then you never end up doing it. Once you have made a promise, a pledge, then this is a way of forcing yourself to commit. And those who do fulfill their vows that they make with Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises them. In Surah Al-Insan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the abrar, those who are righteous, who do a lot of good deeds. How do they end up doing a lot of good deeds? يُفُونَ بِالنَّذْرِ, they fulfill their vows. Meaning whatever vows that they have made with Allah, whatever pledges, commitments they have made with Allah, they fulfill them. So in and of itself, this is permissible. It is something good. What is not okay is that a person sets conditions. Okay? What condition? That, oh Allah, if you give me this, then I will do this. All right? Any setting conditions in vows, this is something that is not okay. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ told us that it doesn't change the decree. All right? Like, for example, if you are meant to get a job, you will get a job. If you're meant to have a child, if it's decreed for you, you will have it, whether or not you make the vow. But the vow, the nadhr, what does it do? It gets something out of a stingy person. Meaning otherwise they were not going to give sadaqah. They were not going to do any righteous action. But out of their greed, their love for something of this world, they made the pledge, all right? And then they did that righteous action. So setting conditions, this is not okay. And this is what is described over here, all right? So the main thing is that we should be very, very careful about making such pledges, all right? Why? Because any ahd, any promise, إِنَّ الْعَهْدَ كَانَ مَسْؤُولًا, it is something that's going to be questioned about. And a pledge that you make with people or with Allah, both are necessary to fulfill. But especially a pledge that is made with Allah, that is a very, very serious matter. So be careful about making vows. Many people say in their time of need, or you know, when they wish for something, that if Allah grants me a good job, if Allah frees me from this debt, if I get such and such raise, in my paycheck, I will give this and this for the sake of Allah. But when they receive what they desire, when their wishes are fulfilled, their hopes are fulfilled, what do? They break their vow and they basically do khiyana. So do not impose such difficulties on yourself. All right. If you want to give sadaqah from what you already have. And be of those who give sadaqah from what they have and don't worry about the future. And he gives sadaqah without fearing poverty from the owner of the throne. All right, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Bilal radiyallahu anhu, that anfiq ya Bilal, that spend O Bilal, and don't fear poverty from the owner of the throne. I mean, don't think that if you give in charity, then the owner of the throne, Allah azza wa jal, is going to leave you in poverty. Don't fear that. So give from what you have without waiting for, you know, things to change and for things to become ideal. And you don't restrict your good deeds to certain conditions and circumstances. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has inspired you to give sadaqah, then give from what you have. You're not responsible. You're not going to be held accountable for not giving what is not with you. Like if you don't have $1 million, you're not going to be asked why you didn't give, you know, $1 million in charity. But if you have $10, then yes, give from what you have. لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. So what is your capacity right now? Do that. And don't keep waiting for your capacity to improve, to increase, to change, and then you'll do something good. Because remember earlier in Surah At-Tawbah, with regard to the Battle of Tabuk, we learned, إِنْفِرُوا خِفَافًا وَثِقَالًا, that go out in the way of Allah, whether light or heavy. And light, one of the interpretations is that whether you are light, meaning in your property, whether you have little. So whatever you have, give from that. And we learn about the companions who were very wealthy and they gave generously in the way of Allah. And then there were those who didn't have anything. And literally they would work as porters, as people who would carry others' luggage and things like that. Why? Because that is all they could do to make money. And such work does not bring you a lot of money, but whatever money they were able to make, they spent from that in the way of Allah. Now, what if a person used to make such pledges and then they did not fulfill them and they even forgot about them? So whatever you are able to remember, fulfill that. And whatever you are not able to remember, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا إِن نَسِينَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. O our Lord, do not hold us accountable if we forget or if we make a mistake. And also, tawbah is that a person changes their course in the future. So now be careful about making such pledges. Another thing is that making a pledge is basically any taking an oath, and yameen is something for which you have to fulfill. And if you are unable to fulfill, then you have to give the kafara. All right? So, for example, you are unable to do it, you had the intention, you want to, but now your circumstances have changed even more. Okay, like for example, a person made a pledge that if, you know, something happens, they're going to go for Umrah. But then what happens? They fall ill and they're not able to travel. And it doesn't seem possible for them to be able to travel. So either send somebody else for Umrah in your place or give the kafara. Any kafara tul yameen, if you are able to, and you remember what you did pledge to do. All right. And if you used to do this before, now you know, then make tawbah and do not make this mistake again. And also spread awareness, because there's a lot of people who make such pledges and then they don't fulfill them. So spread awareness about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَعْقَبَهُمْ نِفَاقًا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ إِلَى يَوْمِ يَلْقَوْنَهُ. فَأَعْقَبَهُمْ, so he penalized them. With what? With nifaqan, with hypocrisy. Where? فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ, in their hearts. And this hypocrisy will continue إِلَى يَوْمِ يَلْقَوْنَهُ, until the day that they meet him. Why did he punish them with such hypocrisy in their hearts that will continue until the day they meet him? بِمَا أَخْلَفُ اللَّهَ مَا وَعَدُوهُ. Because they failed Allah in what they promised him. They made a promise to Allah and then they went back on that promise. And وَبِمَا كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ, and because they used to lie. Now here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the punishment that he has given for such breaking off pledges. And what is that punishment? Nifaq. Now, the word فَأَعْقَبَهُمْ أَعْقَبَ عَيْنْ قَافْ بَا عَقِبْ is heel. عِقَاب is punishment that is given in consequence of something, and heel is the back of the foot, what comes behind. So what comes after? أَعْقَبَ يعني they did something, and then he gave as punishment, he gave this punishment as consequence to them. يعني Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not unjust to them in punishing them. This punishment only came after the choices that they made themselves. فَأَعْقَبَهُمْ نِفَاقًا. Or, أَعْقَبَ, it brought as consequence, meaning the بُخْل. Because of their stinginess, okay, what followed in their hearts was what? Hypocrisy. So they made a promise that if Allah gives us this, we will give charity. Allah gave them. What did they do? They became stingy. Now what came after stinginess? Hypocrisy in their hearts. Which means that hypocrisy does not just come out of nowhere. It is the result of the choices that a person makes, the actions that a person does. So they were stingy, and as a result of their stinginess, there came hypocrisy in their hearts. Such hypocrisy that remained until the day they meet Allah. إِلَى يَوْمِ يَلْقَوْنَهُ. Until the day they meet Him. يَلْقَوْنَهُ. And what is that day? This is the day of death. Because in hadith we learn that مَنْ أَحَبَّ لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ. Whoever loves to meet Allah, then Allah also loves to meet Him. And in that hadith we learn that the meeting with Allah is what? Death. Or إِلَى يَوْمِ يَلْقَوْنَهُ. The day they meet Him, this is the day of judgment. At the time of the gathering. Now this shows us that their hypocrisy will continue throughout their lives, from which they will not repent. Subhanallah. Another interpretation is that إِلَى يَوْمِ يَلْقَوْنَهُ, until the day they meet it. And it refers to the punishment for their nifaq and bukhl. Meaning this hypocrisy will continue in their heart until they meet the punishment for that hypocrisy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions over here that this nifaq is fi qulubihim, in their hearts, which means that their nifaq is nifaq i'tiqadi. Okay, it is in the heart. Because remember, there are two types of nifaq. There is nifaq amali, which is nifaq in one's actions, hypocrisy in one's actions. And the other is nifaq i'tiqadi, which is hypocrisy in one's heart. It is their belief. Okay? Nifaq in actions is what? As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained, that the actions of hypocrisy are what? The signs of a hypocrite are that when he speaks, he lies. Alright? Now does this mean that if a person lies even once, they're a hypocrite at heart? No. It just means that there is hypocrisy in their actions and they better repent from it. Okay? Similarly, when he makes a promise, he breaks it. When he's entrusted with something, he betrays. Alright? And hypocrisy in actions can vary. Okay. The other type of hypocrisy is, which is in the heart, nifaq i'tiqadi. And this is literally that a person has kufr in their heart, that a person doesn't actually believe. Okay? They're a hypocrite at heart. So, فَأَعْقَبَهُمْ نِفَاقًا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. This means that hypocrisy took root in their heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not being unjust to them. No, this punishment is a consequence of their own actions. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the actions over here. Why is it that their hypocrisy took root in heart? Two reasons. First, بِمَا أَخْلَفُ اللَّهَ مَا وَعَدُوهُ. Because they went back on the promises that they made Allah. They made a vow and they did not fulfill it. And this is a major sin. To make a vow and then not fulfill it is a major sin. Second, وَبِمَا كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ, and because they used to lie. Yani they lied when they said, لَنَصَّدَّقَنَّ وَلَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. We will give charity and we will be of those who are righteous. They were lying when they said that. So the promises that they made, they broke them. And the words they said, they were basically lying. And the Prophet ﷺ said that the signs of a hypocrite are three. When he speaks, he lies. When he makes a covenant, he betrays it. And when he promises, he breaks it. And by the way, this ayah is so serious. It teaches us such an important lesson that, first of all, be careful about making such pledges. And then secondly, if you do make a pledge, then fulfill it. Because if you don't fulfill it and don't even feel bad about it and then don't even have the intention to fulfill it, then what does that result in? Hypocrisy in the heart. It takes root in heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ يَعْلَمُوا? Do they not know that أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ سِرَّهُمْ وَنَجْوَاهُمْ? That indeed Allah knows their secrets and their private conversations. This is a severe reprimand. أَلَمْ يَعْلَمُوا? Who are they deceiving when they lie? Who are they deceiving when they break the promise that they make with Allah? Who are they trying to trick when they say one thing in one place and another thing in another place? Allah knows their secret and also their najwa. Sir is a person's secret that he doesn't share with anybody, or what a person does in private, their private actions. And najwa is private conversations, meaning what a person shares secretly with some individuals. Okay? So sir can refer to private actions and najwa can refer to private conversations. All right? Or sir is what a person does not share with anybody and najwa is what a person secretly shares with just some people. Any whatever secrets we keep, whatever we try to keep private, whatever we try to hide from others, whether it is actions or words, intentions or promises, whatever it may be, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about that. So when they say from their tongues that if Allah gives us this, we will do this, what is really in their heart? What is the intention in the heart? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already knows. They can't hide their intention from Allah. And there are people who literally make such pledges or say such things in front of other people, whereas in their heart, they have no intention of doing what they say they will do. Like, for example, there are times when people will make a promise to another individual, right? That if you do this for me, I will do that for you. And when they're making the promise, sometimes to their own children even, in their heart, they have no intention to ever do what they're saying they will do. So do they not know that Allah knows their secrets and also their private conversations? وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ And that Allah is the knower of the unseen matters. He is Allam, extremely knowledgeable of Al-Ghuyub, all unseen matters. Ghuyub, plural of Ghayb. And there's different matters of the unseen, right? There is, of course, Al-Ghayb, absolute Ghayb, which is completely hidden from us in this world. Like, for example, the angels. We cannot see Allah. Similarly, what is in the future. But then there's also Ghayb that is relative. Okay, meaning, what are you doing right now? I can't see it, right? Where are you sitting right now? I can't see, right? Who can see? Allah can see. You can also see, but it's hidden from me. Okay, so there are things that are known to some, but hidden from others. To Allah, all unseen matters are the same as a shahada, what is witnessed. Nothing at all is hidden from Allah. Nothing at all is unknown to Allah. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ So what is in the heart? What is on the tongue? What is shared in a private conversation? What is shared in an email? What is a commitment that is made in front of a group of people? Or a dua that is made in secret? An intention that is made in private? All of these matters are known to Allah. So who are they deceiving? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew their intention even when they were making that promise. He knows exactly why they were wishing for increase in wealth. They had no intention of giving anything in charity. Now, some mufassirun have mentioned that these verses were revealed concerning a man whose name was Tharlaba. And it is said that he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked him to make dua for him, that Allah grant him from his bounty, and that if Allah gives him, then he will surely give in charity. And he will, be good to his relatives and assist them in times of hardship and so on and so forth. And initially the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refused to make dua for him. And then the man asked again. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed for him. Until this man had sheep that began to multiply. And then they became so many that he wasn't able to remain in Medina. So then he had to go on the outskirts of Medina with his sheep. And before he would come for the 5 daily prayers, and when he moved outside of Medina, then coming to the masjid also reduced, then he would come only for Jumu'ah, and then he stopped coming for Jumu'ah as well. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would inquire about him, and then eventually when, in the stories it is mentioned about how when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent some zakat collectors, he refused and he called it a jizya. So this ayah was revealed. You'll find many details and versions of the story. However, the story is not authentic at all. In fact, it is completely fabricated, because the name of this man, Tha'laba al-Ansari, he's actually a companion, a Sahabi. And when it comes to the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, remember, we believe that all of them were honest. So if you come across the story, first of all, realize that this doesn't have any authentic narration. And secondly, some scholars have even written, in defense of this companion, and they have referred to him as the one about whom stories were invented. And the fact is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions something in the Quran, and he does not mention an individual, our focus should not be on one individual and his story. Our focus should be on the characteristics that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described, so that we take lesson and we stay away from the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has condemned. So these verses describe to us the selfishness and the stinginess of the hypocrites, that they do not give in the way of Allah. They make big promises to give in the way of Allah, but then they don't give in the way of Allah. And it is because of their stinginess that hypocrisy takes root in their hearts. So all of us should look inward and check the condition of our heart, that how much do I like to give in the way of Allah? How comfortable do I feel spending in the way of Allah? And the cure to stinginess, by the way, is that you force yourself to give. Stinginess is not cured with keeping your wealth to yourself. No, it is cured, it is fixed, how? By separating yourself from your wealth. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions another trait of the hypocrites, that how they discourage others from giving as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ يَلْمِزُونَ الْمُطَّوِّعِينَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Those who criticize the ones who voluntarily give charity among the believers, they criticize them with regard to what? فِي الصَّدَقَاتِ, with regard to their charities. And it is as if the hypocrites are not satisfied with their own stinginess. So they have to go on criticizing those who do give in the way of Allah. And they criticize all people who give in the way of Allah. Those who give a lot, they accuse them of showing off. And those who give little, they say that your charity is not going to make any difference. You might as well not give. So, الَّذِينَ يَلْمِزُونَ. يَلْمِزُونَ from لَمْز, لَمْ مِمْزَي, to criticize someone. We learned this word earlier as well. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَلْمِزُكَ فِي الصَّدَقَاتِ. They also criticized the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding the distribution of charities, and they criticized him that you are not being just, you're not being fair. And here, they criticized the believers who were giving charity, that you're not giving it sincerely, and that your charity is not going to make any difference. So, الَّذِينَ يَلْمِزُونَ الْمُطَّوِّعِينَ. مُطَّوِّعِينَ, plural of مُطَّوِّعِ. And the word is مُتَطَوِّعِ. The ta and the ta are assimilated for ease of pronunciation. And مُطَّوِّعِ is from تَطَوُّعِ. Okay, تَطَوُّعِ. تَطَوُّعِ is voluntary good deed. وَمَنْ تَطَوَّعَ خَيْرًا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ شَاكِرٌ عَلِيمٌ. Whoever voluntarily does any good, then Allah is very appreciative and He knows. تَطَوُّعِ, صَلَاتُ التَّطَوُّعِ. It is voluntary good deed. So those who voluntarily give, meaning they give sadaqah, مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, among the believers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions al-mu'mineen here specifically because the believers are different from the hypocrites. The hypocrites don't give, they're stingy. But those who are giving, the hypocrites criticize them. فِالصَّدَقَاتِ, in regard to sadaqat. And also, they criticize who? وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَجِدُونَ إِلَّا جُهْدَهُمْ. Those who do not find anything to give except their juhud, their effort. And they do not have any wealth to give from. So what do? They use their juhud. Juhud is to exert one's effort. So, for example, some companions would work as laborers, as porters. All right, this is physical work. And after an entire day's work, they would make very little money, and that they would bring in sadaqah. So when they would bring it, what would the hypocrites do? فَيَسْخَرُونَ مِنْهُمْ They would ridicule them. They would make fun of them. What? That this sadaqah of yours is not going to make any difference. You might as well not give. Allah has no need of this. Now, we learn in a hadith, it is mentioned in Sahih Bukhari, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he mentioned that when the ayah about charity was revealed, we used to carry loads on our backs. Imagine carrying loads on their backs. Why? To earn wages in order to give in charity. Because among the companions, yes, there were those who were like Abu Bakr and, you know, Uthman radiallahu anhu, Abdurrahman ibn Auf. These companions were wealthy. And at the time of Tabuk, we learn Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu brought 4,000 dirhams. Okay. Another companion brought a whole lot of dates, hundreds of kilograms in dates. You know about how Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu brought everything he had. Umar radiallahu anhu brought half of what he had, thinking that that day he was going to finally get ahead of Abu Bakr. Right? So he brings half of his wealth, and then he finds out that Abu Bakr has brought all of his wealth, leaving nothing at home, believing that Allah and His Messenger are enough. SubhanAllah. So there were those companions who were bringing so much charity forward. And then there were those who didn't have anything to give from. So they worked physical labor. Why? In order to give charity. And SubhanAllah, when a person doesn't have anything and they work like this, physical work, why do they do that? In order to be able to provide for their families, to be able to get some food, to be able to get some dinner. But the Sahaba were working so hard. Why? So that they could also give sadaqah. This is how seriously they took the command to give sadaqah. So what happened? Abu Mas'ud radiallahu anhu mentioned that one man came and gave a large amount in charity. So the hypocrite said he only gave that to show off. Then another man came and gave only one sa'r of charity. Sa'r is about 2 kilograms of grain. Okay, that's all he could afford to give, and that is what he gave. So the hypocrite said, Allah has no need of this man's charity. What good is it? Meaning this is useless. So this ayah was revealed. الَّذِينَ يَلْمِزُونَ الْمُطَّوِّعِينَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي الصَّدَقَاتِ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَجِدُونَ إِلَّا جُهْدَهُمْ فَيَسْخَرُونَ مِنْهُمْ So those who give a lot, they criticize them, that, oh, you're showing off. And those who work hard and bring the little that they have, they ridicule them. They make fun of their sadaqah. And they say, Allah has no need of your charity. So basically, no one was spared of their criticism. And there are people who are like that. They just sit back, they do nothing themselves, and all they do is criticize those who are doing something. Those who are working hard, they criticize them of showing off. Those who give a lot, they criticize them of showing off. Those who cannot do much, they have little means, little power, they say that your efforts are useless. They're never going to make a difference. So with their criticism, what were the hypocrites doing? Discouraging the believers. So what is their punishment? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَخِرَ اللَّهُ مِنْهُمْ Allah ridiculed them in return. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ And for them is ever painful punishment. So their punishment is that Allah ridicules them. Now, if you think about it, ridiculing someone, making fun of someone, this isn't something that is a good thing to do. Right? So how come it is said here, سَخِرَ اللَّهُ مِنْهُمْ That Allah ridicules them. Remember, some ulama said that when such sifat, such actions are mentioned for Allah, okay, like for example, اللَّهُ يَسْتَهْزِئُ بِهِمْ Allah mocks them. Meaning the hypocrites, right? Or makr, plotting. That وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهِ Allah plotted. Then these actions are mentioned for Allah just as mushakala. Mushakala as in the same word is used to, yani, you can say mirroring. Okay? Yani the same word is used, but the implication of the word is different. Okay? The implication of the word is different. And what is the implication with regard to Allah? That Allah will punish them for their mockery. Allah will punish them for their ridicule. Okay? Allah will punish them for their plotting. So this is what some scholars said. Others said that no. If Allah says that He ridicules them, then yes, Allah ridicules them. Because the punishment for a crime is similar to the crime. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not initiate this He only does this in response. And remember, initiating mockery at someone, yes, that is not positive. But if somebody is mocking at you, then you mocking at them in return, all right, this is completely justified. And in fact, it shows strength that you're not being a pushover, all right? So, سَخِرَ اللَّهُ مِنْهُمْ, that yes, literally, Allah ridicules them in return as punishment. Allah mocks them. Allahu يَسْتَهْزِئُ بِهِمْ. And yes, they plot, and Allah plots against them. So, سَخِرَ اللَّهُ مِنْهُمْ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ, and for them is a painful punishment. Now, if you think about it, this behavior of the hypocrites that is described over here, that how they criticize those who give a lot of charity, and they make fun of those who give little, because that is all they can afford, there's a lot of wrong things that are happening over here. There's a lot of offenses, you can say, that the hypocrites are committing over here. First of all, you can see here that the hypocrites are spying on the believers, and always observing them, looking at them. Why? To find something to attack them with. Okay? And there are people who are like that they've always got their eyes fixed on others, right? They're always watching others to see when someone will make a mistake, when someone slips, when someone does something wrong, so that they can jump and attack them in that moment. So this in and of itself is very abhorrent behavior. Secondly, we see that the hypocrites are criticizing the believers with regard to something righteous, which is giving sadaqah. And this is wrong. To criticize something for their worldly choices, that is wrong. But to criticize someone for something good is worse. It just shows that a person does not have any respect or love for the religion of Allah. Thirdly, we see that they are criticizing and ridiculing those who give sadaqah. Now, when someone is doing something good, voluntarily doing something good, what is fitting is that we support that person. We encourage them. But the hypocrites do the opposite. And we learned about this earlier as well, that the hypocrites, يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمُنْكَرِ, right? They command what is wrong. And they, يَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمَعْرُوفِ, they forbid that which is good. So they forbid that which is good, not directly, but indirectly, by making fun of them, by criticizing them. Because think about it, when someone is giving charity, and it's a huge sum, and another individual says to them, oh, what a show off. What's going to happen? They're going to become very self-conscious. Similarly, if somebody's giving charity and it's very little, like a child is giving little charity, and you say, oh, what do you think this will do? What difference will this make? You're basically teaching that child that your actions are not going to make any difference. You're discouraging them for their entire life. Then we see another problem is that they accuse those who give a lot of charity of showing off. And this is also wrong, because how do you know what is in the heart of someone else? You don't know with what intention someone is giving charity, whether they're being sincere or insincere, they're showing off or what. You don't know. You're claiming knowledge of unseen when you say that someone's a show off. Another problem here we see is that when they say to those who give little that Allah has no need of this charity, this is a false statement. Because first of all, Allah is not in need of any charity. Not a lot, not little. Right? Our charity does not benefit Allah. Allah has only commanded us to give charity for our own benefit. And when a person does something good, whether it is a big thing or a little action, all right, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very appreciative. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ, whoever does even an atom's weight of righteousness, he will see it. So when a person gives sadaqah of a handful of grain, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciates that. And if a person gives even one date fruit in sadaqah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciates that. So when the hypocrites criticize and make fun, this isn't just one sinful action. This has in it many, many problems. So the main thing that we can learn from this is that, first of all, do not be a commentator on the actions of other people. Do not judge people's intentions. Do not criticize them for what they do, whether it is a lot or a little. do not be of those who discourage others from doing good. And another important lesson is that there will be people who will criticize you no matter what. If you do a lot of good, they will criticize you. If you do little, again, they will criticize you. So your actions should not be determined by what people say. All right? Don't let the criticism of people guide your deeds. That if people criticize you, you stop. Right? If you criticize you for doing little, you do more. No, that should not be your guide. Your guide should be, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want? What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like? And what does my capacity right now enable me to do? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold me accountable for what I am able to do right now. And we also see here that all of the companions were being criticized by the hypocrites. Right? Those who were giving a lot and also those who were giving little. So don't stop doing good because of the criticism of people. Don't let the mockery of the mockers stop you from doing what is right. All right, let's listen to the recitation of these verses.
وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ عَاهَدَ اللَّهَ لَئِنْ آتَانَا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ لَنَصَّدَّقَنَّ وَلَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ فَلَمَّا آتَاهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ بَخِلُوا بِهِ وَتَوَلَّوا وَهُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ فَأَعْقَبَهُمْ نِفَاقًا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ إِلَى يَوْمِ يَلْقَوْنَهُ بِمَا أَخْلَفُوا اللَّهَ مَا وَعَدُوهُ وَبِمَا كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ أَلَمْ يَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ سِرَّهُمْ وَنَجْوَاهُمْ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ الذين يلمزون المتطوعين من المؤمنين في الصدقات والذين لا يجدون إلا جهدهم فيسخرون منهم سخر الله منهم ولهم عذاب أليم